As you know, each year, Hanukkah begins on the 25th day of Kislev, which is the Hebrew name for this month. And as Hanukkah began this past Sunday, and it's going to end tomorrow on Sunday, that'll be the eighth day. And it just so happened that last Sunday was also the 25th day of December, which, of course, you know, many believers call it Christmas. We might call it Messiahmas. If you're not aware of it, this year is only the fourth time in the last 100 years that Hanukkah began on Messiahmas. So it doesn't happen very often, but it's 4 times in the last 100 years there. And the reason for that is, of course, that Hanukkah is based on a lunar calendar, and Messiahmas is based on a solar calendar. So that's why they don't always match up. Now, people typically think of Messiahmas, you know, as a Christian holiday, because I'd say most Christians celebrate that. And they think of Hanukkah as being a Jewish holiday. And, of course, Messiahmas, even though it didn't happen on that day, that actual day, it commemorates Yeshua's birth. And, you know, think about it. Nothing could be more Jewish than celebrating the birth of the Jewish Messiah.
That's right.
So that's why I'm saying, really, Messiahmas, you know, it's not in the Bible, but it is. It's a Jewish holiday because we're celebrating the birth of the Jewish Messiah there. Now, even though Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday, all believers in Yeshua should be interested in this holiday. It's interesting that though Hanukkah is mentioned in the Talmud, that's one of the rabbinic writings. It's also mentioned in the Apocrypha, the book of Maccabees, because that describes, you know, about it coming. It's never mentioned by name in the Hebrew Scriptures. However, Hanukkah is mentioned in the Brit Hadashah of the New Testament. So let me just remind you of that verse. We've said this before, but John 10. In John 10, it says, at that time, the feast of the dedication, or the feast of Hanukkah, took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Yeshua was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So we see that 2,000 years ago, Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah. He celebrated every year of his life. And so that's why I say all of us who are believers in Yeshua, you know, that means Hanukkah is important to us because it was important to our Messiah. Now, Hanukkah, again, is not mentioned in the Hebrew Scriptures because the events of it happened after the time of the Tanakh or Old Testament and before the time of the Brit Hadashah or the New Testament. So to me, it's kind of ironic that Hanukkah, a Jewish holiday, is mentioned in the Brit Hadashah, but the holiday of Messiahmas is never mentioned in the Brit Hadashah, though, of course, the birth of the Messiah is mentioned or described there. Now, Hanukkah is important to all of us because if the events of Hanukkah never occurred, then humanly speaking, there would have never been a Messiahmas. Now think about that. Hanukkah is important because it preserved the Jewish people. It restored the Jewish temple. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, which is central to Judaism. And if Hanukkah had never occurred, as Susan was alluding earlier, there would have never been a Jewish people. There wouldn't have been a Jewish temple that the Messiah would come through our people. So again, no Hanukkah, no Messiahmas. And again, we've already said it's interesting that this year also, Hanukkah overlaps with New Year. So some of the themes of Hanukkah are relevant for us as we approach a new year, and I'm going to talk about those in a moment. So let me just recap quickly the history of Hanukkah. We're going to spend most of our time looking at the new year and some applications for us. Now, let me just say, I go through the history of Hanukkah every year because I know we always have new people come. And they've never heard this before, so I want to make sure they at least get a little reminder of the history of Hanukkah. And for those of you who are regulars, you've heard me do this probably every year there, I want to encourage you, are you familiar enough with the details so if somebody you work with, somebody in your neighborhood, they say, oh, you go to this Messianic congregation, tell me about Hanukkah. Would you be able to, at least in your own words, describe generally what goes on with the holiday? So that's another reason why I go over that for all of us who are even regulars. All right, so let me just quickly hit over the details of this. As you might remember, a historical figure, you remember this from world history, Alexander the Great. He conquered the then known world in the 4th century BC and then died. And when he died, his vast kingdom, or his vast empire, was divided among 4 of his generals. One of the generals was named Seleucus. Seleucus ruled over Syria and Mesopotamia. And of course, you hear about Syria in the news today. It's the same Syria, or at least the same area. All right, so that was the northern kingdom that Seleucus reigned over. And then Ptolemy ruled over Egypt and the Promised Land, and that was called in the Bible the Southern Kingdom. So in the years after these two kingdoms were formed, there was a rivalry between the northern Seleucid kingdom and the Ptolemaic kingdom in the south. And at different times, the Promised Land, which was right in the middle, it would change hands between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom there. Eventually, a wicked man named Antiochus, the 4th Epiphanes, came to the throne of the northern Seleucid kingdom. And his nickname, I've mentioned this in the past, Epiphanes, meant illustrious one. So he was saying, he said, I'm like Zeus, you know, come to earth. So we see he was a very humble man, you know, to call himself illustrious, okay. All right, I say that facetiously, of course. All right, and then this wicked man, Antiochus, he tried to do away with Jewish worship in the Promised Land, because Israel at that time, the Promised Land, was under his control. And so he forbade our Jewish people from circumcising their children. He forbade our Jewish people from reading from the Torah, the 5 books of Moses. And it was, and as a result of that, that's how the Haftarah reading started. Because our Jewish people, to try to get around it, found a reading in the prophets that matched up with the Torah reading, and they read that. And he would send his forces out throughout the area there, and they would actually kill Jews if they saw them violating these things. They said they couldn't absolve the kashrut laws. You know, they had to eat ham and all that kind of stuff. So it was just a terrible thing. And then one time he got upset because of, I don't have time to go into it, but he got upset. So he sent 22,000 of his soldiers into Jerusalem on a Shabbat, and they destroyed some of the walls of the city. They killed thousands of Jews. They took 10,000 of them as captives. And he had his soldiers go into the temple. They pulled out the golden altar, the lampstands, vessels, and other treasures from the temple. And to add insult to injury, on his birthday, the 25th day of Kislev, so Antiochus' birthday was the 25th day of Kislev, on his birthday, around 168 BC, he had his forces go into the temple complex and they sacrificed a pig on the Jewish altar. So that was very insulting. I mean, that was desecrating the altar. And then, whether it was on that day or very shortly after that, he also had his men go into the Holy of Holies and they set up an idol, which the scripture refers to as the abomination of desolation. And that's mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. Yeshua refers back to that event. But friends, never think that evil men will ever get away with what they do. Because again, as I said, Yeshua always has the last word there. So in God's providence, in 166 BC, after all this had happened, an old priest named Mattathias and 5 of his sons rebelled against Antiochus and his forces, and they started a guerrilla-type warfare against them. And slowly over time, the Jews started having some victories. And then Mattathias died, and one of his sons you've heard of called called Maccabee, which means the hammer. So Judah Maccabee took over the forces, and he was a really good leader of these forces. They started having more and more victories, and finally they defeated Antiochus's forces, recaptured Jerusalem and the temple, and then they went in there and saw all the desecration, and they had to clean all the filth out of the temple there. And then around the 25th day of Kislev, around 165 BC, Judah, Maccabee, and his forces cleansed the temple. So they totally got all that filth and desecration out of there. And the temple was rededicated exactly 3 years to the day after it had been desecrated. On the 25th day of Kislev on the Jewish calendar. And to show that God didn't let Antiochus get off the hook, 1 year later, he died insane in Persia. He was already insane, but anyway, he died insane, okay? All right, 1 year later. Now, in the process of reconsecrating the temple, Jewish legend, and again, I say legend because we don't know for sure if it really happened exactly this way, but Jewish legend said when they went in there to relight the menorah in the holy place, they only found one cruse of oil. And that one cruse of sacred consecrated oil would normally only last 1 day. But according to the legend, it miraculously lasted 8 days. So that's one of the reasons why Hanukkah is celebrated for 8 days. And it's called the Festival of Lights. Now, this consecration of the temple was such an important event that our people, that the Judah Maccabee, the Hasmonean dynasty, and our Jewish people, they started a yearly celebration called Hanukkah. And again, it's Hanukkah, so it's got the chet on the first letter there. And Hanukkah means dedication or consecration. So that's why I would say it's the festival of dedication or consecration. And by the time Yeshua was carrying out his public ministry, it was an established holiday in Israel. And so all our Jewish people, including Yeshua, was celebrating that. And since the altar was cleansed on the 25th day of Kislev, therefore each year beginning on the 25th day of Kislev, we start Hanukkah and we go for the 8 days. Also, I understand the 8 days was influenced by Sukkot, which was a holiday that they said, well, since they weren't able to celebrate that, you know, back on Sukkot, they were saying, well, let's do this one for 8 days as well. So it's kind of has a two reasons for the 8 days. Now, again, nowhere in the scriptures are we ever commanded to celebrate Hanukkah. But as we celebrate, but I think it's appropriate we remember it. Because I said, no Hanukkah, no Messiahmas, no Jewish Messiah coming for all of us there. So again, I think it's good for all of us as believers to take note of that. Now, I want to spend the rest of our time looking at some applications of Hanukkah for the new year. Because the new year is going to begin tonight at midnight and tomorrow. So here's one of them. As we approach this new year of 2017, let's each rededicate our temple to the Lord. So think about it. In the story of Hanukkah, we're reminded how over 2,000 years ago, Judah Maccabee recaptured the temple and he rededicated it. That's where we get the name Hanukkah from. Well, also for us who are believers in Yeshua, both Jews and Gentiles alike, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's look at the verse just to remind ourselves. Let's read it all together. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. He says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So again, our bodies, our physical bodies, it's like, as far as God is concerned, it's like a building, it's like a temple. And God's Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, lives inside of our bodies, inside of our temple. So just think about it. In the original temple, God, in a certain way, resided in the Holy of Holies. Well, today, in our Holy of Holies, in our heart, God's Holy Spirit resides there. So we're no longer our own, but we've been bought with a price. Yeshua died for our sins. So that's why I say it's appropriate here at the beginning of a new year for us to say, God, I freshly rededicate this temple to you. Let's resolve that we want everything we do in this coming year to bring glory to the Lord, to bring glory to God. look at a verse. Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Let's read it out loud. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So let's resolve here as we end this year and throughout 2017 and thereafter, whether we eat, we drink, whether we're looking on the internet, whether we're watching a movie, whether we're reading a book or reading a magazine, whether it's in our leisure time, whether it's in our jobs or on vacation, a business trip, whatever we do in jobs, business, everything, do all to the glory of God. All right, so that's one thing about it. Also, let's be about the Lord's will for our lives this coming year. Again, this is His temple. It's not our temple. So if we're dedicating that to Him, that means we're dedicating it to His purposes. So let's just say, okay, well, God, I want Your will to be done in this temple every day, every moment of every day in this coming year. And let's resolve at the beginning of this year to obey the Lord in every area of our lives this coming year. Again, since this temple doesn't belong to us, that means we need to be obedient to the Lord. Let's resolve not to compromise, to cut any corners, but make sure we're 100% obedient to the Lord in all areas of our life. Let's read John 14, verse 15 together. Yeshua said this. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now let's think about it. I'm sure if I asked you here, I'd say, how many of you love Yeshua? I believe everybody here would say, yes, I love Yeshua. All right, so here's in a sense what Yeshua would say back to us. He'd say, okay, if you love me, please obey me. Amen. See, obey me in this area, obey me in that area. No, don't be doing that now. That's not obeying me. You see what I'm saying? That's what he'd say. Don't compromise. Let's make sure we're 100% obedient. And let's resolve this coming year to be a good steward of our time, our talents, and our resources that God has entrusted to us. Because again, this temple doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. And so how we use it, that's our stewardship. So let's be a good steward this coming year. Okay, so can we agree to do that? As we approach this year, say, Lord, I freshly rededicate this temple to the Lord, my life to the Lord. All right? And then here's a second application. And that is, we approach a new year, let's cleanse our temple for the Lord as needed. In the story of Hanukkah, again, we looked at how the temple had been desecrated, and so there was all this filthy stuff in there that had just horrible stuff that had been done in the temple there, an idol that had been put in the Holy of Holies, and that pig being sacrificed on the altar, and all this terrible stuff, and they had to cleanse it out. Well, at times, we got to cleanse our temple. At times, we get filth in our temple. So as we approach a new year, let's cleanse our temple of any idols or anything that shouldn't be there, like unrepented sin, sin struggles, bad habits that hinder us spiritually. Let's be reminded of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." Well, we need to do that too. And I've said that on a number of occasions. An idol is anything in our life that is competing with God for first place. And there's a lot of things around us in our world and in our lives that potentially can be like an idol to us. Almost anything in our life can get a wrong place and be like an idol. Things like money, possessions like a car, a house, a job, a business, an investment. Even a person can be an idol in our life where we're doing what they want versus what God wants. And that could be a spouse, it could be a child, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a friend. A hobby can be an idol. You know, some people get so caught up in, one of my sister-in-law, she has a neighbor that he likes to collect old cars. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with collecting old cars, but he's out there He's out there putting wax on those cars. She said he has a hangar at the airport full of old cars. I mean, he's just like, he's really got, and she's got two, he's got two cars in her basement right now because he doesn't have room to put all these things. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong, but is that the way he needs to be spending all his time and money? And I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this to condemn the man, but his wife just divorced him. Now, see, probably he's got so focused on a hobby there, it ruined his marriage. And that's tragic. And I'm not saying that to condemn this guy. I'm just saying we have to be careful because things can become an idol and we don't realize it's becoming an idol. Let me just say this. If anything beside God is consuming you in your life, that's probably an idol. So if anything is keeping you up at night and you're finding that you're having to focus so much on it and you can't focus on the things you know you should be focusing on, that's an idol. So clean those idols out of your life. Confess, repent, get it out, change things back, get your priorities right. So confess, repent of any sins or misplaced priorities in our life. If things have gotten out of balance, get it back in balance here as we approach this new year. And then I want to end with this third application. Well, let me read this first. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Materialism is idolatry. Getting caught up in money and possessions. It's idolatry. Okay, so here, let me just go to the third application we're going to end with. And that is, as you approach a new year, let's be optimistic to realize our full potential as temples of God. Now, when Judah Maccabee cleansed the temple, it was a time of new beginnings, especially for the temple. It was a time of freedom. Finally, our Jewish people had thrown off foreign oppression that had been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years, ever since the Babylonian captivity, in some form or another. And so finally, there were Jewish people that were ruling over Israel there in the Hasmonean dynasty. So Israel was back under Jewish control, and there was optimism in terms of saying, oh, you know, this is great. What's God going to be doing for us? And now the temple was free so it could carry out its purpose. Well, with a new year, I believe it's a time when there should be optimism for us as we have a time of new beginnings. So again, isn't it interesting? You know, the number 8, many times they talk about it's a number of new beginnings, and it falls on New Year. The 8th day of Hanukkah falls on New Year this year. So it's a time of new beginnings for us. Now, optimism is simply exercising faith for the blessings God has for us. Let me just remind you of a couple of verses. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's read this together. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, let's face it, we all hope for the best. But an optimist actually expects the best. Amen. That's why we need to be an optimist. You know, here's optimism and pessimism are just different perspectives on the same circumstances. Optimism is viewing them with eyes of faith. And that's the way we always need to lead. A pessimist will look at a glass and say it's half empty. The optimist looks at the same glass and says it's half full. So optimists count their blessings, pessimists discount their blessings. So let's resolve to be an optimist and not a pessimist in regard to the coming year. And I want to encourage you as we begin a new year, let's believe and trust God for all the blessings that he has for us in this coming year. Right? Because God's a God of blessing. He's not a God of cursing. Now, we want God to be glorified. That's what we're seeking above all. But you know, if God gets glorified in our lives, we get blessed. Yes. God will bless us and far beyond anything we could have ever imagined there. And so let's believe God to work in all areas of our life this coming year, that we're going to fulfill all his purposes for us. As I already said, he's going to be glorified, and we're going to see all the blessings he has for us in this coming year. And it's not just enough to hope that or believe it happens. Now, we also need to put feet with our prayers. We need to put action with our prayers. So if God knows we need to make some adjustments, we need to start doing, build some new habits, break some bad habits, build new habits. Now, we need to do that as well. So now, believe God, you know, that challenges, struggles, oppression that you faced in this past year and in the past, that God is more than able to overcome those things. So I mean, let's face it, you've probably had some service like I've had this past year. You've probably had some service like that, okay, this past year. But that service, just say, Lord, I'm believing and trusting you to overcome that service. Yes. Show me what you want me to do to overcome that. I'm trusting you. I'm going to be obedient. And then what's out of my control, I'm trusting you to take care of it. And just trust him to do that here in this coming year, to live an abundant, victorious life for Yeshua. So let's look, let me just remind you a couple of verses. Philippians 4, verse 13. Let's read it together. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So again, whatever's God's will for you, he's going to empower you to do it. And let's also look at another verse, 1 Corinthians 15, 57 to 58. Let's read that together. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You know, there could be some of you here at the end of this year, you've tried to do some things or accomplish some things this year, you've tried to overcome some things, and it didn't work out the way you want. And you may be tempted to get discouraged. I want you to know, if you will keep believing and obeying the Lord like you should, the Lord says, no, your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. You keep trusting him and say, God, I'm going to keep pressing ahead till I see you work this out. It didn't happen in 2016, but I'm trusting you to do it in 2017. Yes. And so you keep pressing ahead on that. And trust God for wisdom and for a vision for what he wants you to be doing in this coming year, for you personally, if you have a family, for your family, if you have a ministry, for your ministry. Let me just remind you of Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Or it says, or in some translation, they perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. Amen. So I want to encourage you here early in this year, say, Lord, what's the vision you have for me this year? What do you want me to accomplish this year? What are some goals that you want me to accomplish? And I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to trust you to empower me and work circumstances out where these goals are going to get accomplished for your glory. And resolve to do what God wants you to do this coming year, to have the healthiest year possible. And believe him for good health. Take care of yourself. Eat properly. Get proper rest. Have exercise. So do the things you know God. You know, people, they make these New Year resolutions and then they break them on January 2nd. You know, we're not looking for anything like that, okay? We're just saying, look, you say, God, I know you want me to make this change in my life. You want to build some good disciplines. So God, I'm going to trust you to do this, and I'm going to keep believing you. I'm going to take the steps I need to do to see it happen. And as far as our health, James 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And resolve what God is expecting you to do this coming year to see your financial needs be met. And believe him for your needs to be met. Again, it is God's will our needs be met if we're being obedient and living in faith. Amen. So please do that. Again, Philippians 4:19 says, "And why don't we read that together? And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Messiah Yeshua." Do you believe that? I hope you do. It's the word of God. Believe that God, it's God's will to meet your needs. You say, "But Michael, my needs aren't always being met." Well, then that means it's not a problem with God. I'm just being honest with you. I'm saying that in love. If your needs aren't being met, it's not a problem with God. So that means he wants you to make some adjustments. And it could be some past mistakes you've made and you're having to suffer for those mistakes. But God's a forgiving God. So I'm not saying God's condemning us. But I'm just saying if you're facing challenges, recognize what you did wrong in the past. Ask his forgiveness for that. Learn the lessons God wants you to learn. Make the adjustments you need to make here in the present and in the future. Do whatever you have to do. If new adjustments has to be made in the future, you do that. And then just trust and believe God and say, "God, thank you that you are going to meet my needs." I believe if you will do what God wants you to do and you believe him, your needs are going to be met. And we don't know what all is going to happen with the economy. Right now, some positive things are happening in the economy. But, you know, things can change. But again, God's still going to be sitting on the throne. So trust him to meet your needs, no matter what happens in this coming year there. And I want to encourage you, again, to if you have some sin struggles or whatever, work up an action plan, some specific steps you're going to do to break those bad habits and get the new habits or break that sin struggle so that, again, this year you're going to be blessed. Yes. And then the final thing I just want to say is consider spending some special time in prayer and even fasting to seek God's direction for the new year. And that's, again, one reason why we're going to do this 21-day of prayer and fasting emphasis for the congregation. But also, I want to encourage you in your own personal life, be doing that. And you can do it during those 21 days. You can do it apart from those 21 days. But I'm just saying, set some time aside. Let God speak to you. Hear from him. We need to give him time. Our lives are so busy. We're always on the run. It's hard for God to speak to us. In fact, I've said this before. I go up to CSUN and witness, and so almost everybody's got a headset, their earbuds, they're listening to music all the time. If God wanted to talk to him, he'd have to shout over the music. You see what I'm saying? So let's have some times of quietness where God can really speak to us in our kishkas, you know, and we can hear from him and say, "Okay, yes, Lord, you're exactly right. That's what I need to do." And so again, on these 21 days that we're going to have, I made an announcement earlier, but just to recap it, is that this is a time we're going to set aside that all of us can participate. I hope all of us will participate in some level, in some way. Fasting, abstaining from something, preferably food, but if due to health reasons or whatever reason you can't, then abstain from something you like. Maybe it's ice cream. It may be a dessert. It may be not reading, looking at the internet for 21 days. Maybe it's not watching movies, not watching television, not reading a certain thing, you know, books and stuff or whatever. And I don't mean these things are sinful. I'm just saying you're humbling yourself before God and saying, "God, I'm humbling myself before you by abstaining from something that maybe not is not evil in itself, but I'm choosing out of love for you not to do it for this period of time. And I'm looking to you in faith and trusting that you'll honor that, you'll be glorified through it, and that you will work these situations out that you're praying about, that you may have been praying for years about." I believe in faith we're going to see God just do some real breakthroughs in people's lives as we step out in faith and do this. And so I want to encourage you to believe God to do it. Now, we leave it up to him what he does. God's not obligated to do, you know, anything. But as we humble ourselves before him, and as it says, Yeshua said this in Matthew 6, he said, "When you fast." When. He didn't say if, he said when. So that's a discipline that's in our life to some extent. And so we're just saying corporately, we're going to give you an opportunity where we're all doing it at the same time in that 21 days. Does that sound like a good thing to do?
Yes.
And so let's be expectant of what God. And also, we have a list of prayer requests. We're going to be praying. We have a request there for praying for Israel. We have a request praying for America, praying for our personal lives, praying for the congregation. Let's believe that it's going to so please God, He's going to do some miraculous things in the congregation in this coming year. Because this is our, it's not my congregation, it's our congregation. So let's believe Him to do great and mighty things in Adat Yeshua, His congregation, that He has stewarded with us, that He's going to do great and mighty things, and we're just going to have an endless flow of people giving praise reports of God working out in a miraculous way in their lives, in their families. People are saying, God provided a job. God healed me. You know, He saved a loved one or a friend that need to come to the Lord. God broke a bad habit in my life that I'd been praying about for years. We're going to just see God doing so many things that we're just going to be astounded. You know, we shared a couple of weeks ago about Skylar instantaneously, miraculously being healed of a stomach ulcer. I hope we have everybody coming up there and saying, God miraculously healed me of whatever it was. Fill in the blank. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
Well, let's all do our part and believe and trust God, and we'll leave the results up to Him. But we pray He'll be glorified, and we know if He's glorified, we're going to be rejoicing. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. So let me just say as I close, because I don't know what's in everybody's heart today, is your life a temple of the Lord yet? Because I talked about, you know, if we're a believer in Yeshua, our body is a temple. So is your body a temple of the Lord yet, or does it need to become a temple of God? If you're not a true follower of Yeshua, then you need to become a follower of Yeshua or Jesus. Then your body will become a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you need to do that, just trust Yeshua or Jesus to come in your life, forgive you of all your sins, and give you everlasting life. And then your life will be a temple of the Holy Spirit there. And for all of us, again, who are already followers of Yeshua, let's resolve afresh here at the beginning of this new year to dedicate our temples to the Lord for His purposes in the coming year. And let's cleanse our temple of anything that needs to be cleansed so that we can be clean, a clean temple in this coming year. And let's have a spirit of optimism and faith that God is going to use our temple for His glory this year. And that we're going to see Him work all these situations out that we've been praying about. Our needs are met. We're healed. We have a healthy temple. And that God's going to be glorified and we're going to be blessed through it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so let me close in prayer. Lord, thank You again.